Hello, this is the Inch Podcast, week of Inch 2017. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, joined tonight by Mike Eidelbus. Here we are, Bus, and as we have done last year and this year, week of Inch, trying to get some content out that we used to do. It's been fun so far, and what would it be without a little Inch Podcast? So how's it going tonight?
It is going well. It's just like riding a bike. you get back on, you got to make sure, you got some air in the tires, make sure that chain is nice and greased up, and it feels like we never left, even though we did.
Yeah, maybe our times on the bike are a little slower, and endurance is a little down, but it's that old
avoid the hills.
Yeah, we stay on the flatland. But we've had a lot to talk about over the course of the week. Started with first shift, went to the Trackler, beloved Hobie Tracker, and little Napkin. That was a good one. We were pretty smart back in the day.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah, and then throughout the week, you and I talked about, what we kind of wanted to fit into some of this content, and the overall theme, and this is where we'll start, is kind of the season-long trend. We've seen a lot of games. You're in that part of the season now at the end of January where you've got a good idea. Normally, you have a good idea of who the good teams are and who maybe are the not-so-good teams. But what we've come back to is there's a lot of teams that are probably pretty optimistic about playing into March and even into April.
Yeah, and I know that, we threw it out there on Twitter to ask, submit a question for the podcast. And, one of the ones we always can predict on getting is who's going to be in your Frozen Four, or who's your Frozen Four picks? And as of right now, I'd say I have no idea. And it's not because there's not good teams out there. Certainly there are, but I think there's we're not seeing those one or two great teams that have really risen above the pack. I mean, the pack is real tight right now. You look back at last year and you could say, all right, North Dakota, pretty good possibility of being there at the end. Quinnipiac, same thing.
BC, yeah.
BC. I think you look at it now and you're saying you could make a case for 12, 16 teams. In a legitimate case, I think. It's just been one of those. I really can't off the top of my head remember a year that has been quite like this. Maybe if you go back to the year in Pittsburgh where it was, ended up with Lowell and St. Cloud and
Yale, Quinnipiac.
Yale in there. That was kind of a different Frozen, but I mean, you could throw a team out there and I can give you three reasons why they could be there in April, and I can give you three reasons why they won't. It's just been that kind of year.
Yeah, and instead of going through it maybe team by team, we're going to start with some trends. I think one of the things that I want to look at and people will look at as we're trying to – I mean, what's the first step in this whole deal? Let's determine who the best 16 teams are, or most deserving 16 teams are. We've got mathematical comparisons based on your season results that determine that for us. Then you start to evaluate, okay, now who's going to win those games? And for me, you want to see characteristics. And there are different ways of going about it. You've got some teams that are what you would call veteran laden, more experienced, older age players. You've got some teams that have a lot of draft picks, high-end talent. You've got some teams that have, maybe a great power play or a great goalie. Those things that come into play in the playoffs especially that people like to talk about. So I think there's a lot of elements out there. And to me, I want to start with two teams I see some similarities in with as far as their veteran presence and being led by their senior players, and then also the right mix of talent and pedigree of what you're doing. Of course, that's Minnesota Duluth, who's probably been, definitely been the most consistent high level performing team, I think, all year. And, you know, out in this neighborhood, Union, which leads the nation with 17 wins. Seeing those teams, I like what each one brings to the table. And we talked about it in our tracker with Neil Pionk, kind of stands out to me and to us and some of the other folks that we speak with. But, you know, you get the likes of Toninato out there. You know, you get good goaltending. You've got some seniors up at the top of that scoring chart. For Minnesota Duluth, I mean, they've got a recipe that, I'd like to start my meal with that recipe.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, it's kind of interesting to look at them. And, you know, they've got a nice mix of veteran guys and some young kids that are real talented. You know, they're really balanced. They don't have that one dynamic real scorer in terms of, the guy that's going to really put up the big totals and fly to the top of the scoring leaderboard in the nation. But they've got 8, 10, 12 guys who can really contribute. And to me, that's what's really caught my attention about them is so many contributors, so much veteran presence, and just the consistency from day one, really. I mean, they haven't had, a prolonged slump. Occasionally they've lost a couple in a row, and that's it. Then they've bounced back and won some big games back to back, to end those streaks. So I like, they've been even. And I think the other thing that really jumps out at me regarding Duluth is that, I mean, they're just starting to really get some production out of some good players. You know, Riley Tufte has been, he was hurt to start the year and he came back and he didn't score, and big things expected from the kid. And lately he's really been terrific the last four games or so. Avery Peterson, same thing. He was at Omaha. He transferred to Duluth, just became eligible after the break, and he's got 5 points for him in 7 games. So not only do they have that balance and experience, but now they're starting to get even more on top of that, and it's really got him in a good position.
Yeah, they've got 8 players with 13 points or more, and that's in 24 games. So, you know, your only point per night guy is Iafalo, who's very good, 10 goals, 15 assists, 25 points. You know, but then you get, your Osterbergs. We mentioned Neil Pionk, Toninato, Carson Soucy, guys like that who really add a lot. And you've got to play 60 minutes against this team. A number of their wins have come, I think, in trailing after two comebacks and being able to get things done. If you can't shut down one line because there's another line coming over the boards that can do some damage. So they've got 3 wins when trailing after two. 3 wins, 3 losses, and 4 ties. So that's 10 games they've trailed after two and 7 nights they've gotten a point out of it. So that's pretty
impressive. That's pretty that's real impressive. And the other thing that jumps out at me is 8-1-2 on the road.
Yes.
And and it's not like they've their road games haven't been cakewalks. Been to Lowell, they've been to St. Cloud, Omaha, Denver, Bemidji, and North Dakota.
Yeah, last weekend sweeping at North Dakota. Pretty good business there.
Yeah.
So that's a Duluth team. We talked about their balanced scoring. If you turn it over to Union, maybe a little bit, another group, a lot of upperclassmen. I mean, their leading freshman scorer is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th on the team in scoring with 9 points. guy named Luke Brown, but they're led by that first line, and a lot of people have talked about it. It's Mike Vecchione, who was our front runner and our Hobie tracker. He's a veteran guy. He's got 18 goals and 41 points in 24 games. His line mate, Spencer Fu, who's been a nice player, but has really emerged. He's kind of got that old UNH model of, you know, a couple good years and then bang, really explodes out into a more elevated role. And then Sebastian Vidmar is a sophomore. He plays with that group most of the time. So that's a Union team. Vecchione and Fu in particular, plus 24 rating, plus 27 rating. These are in 24 games. So you've got a lot of production, you know, from that top line. And, you know, that's maybe another one of those ingredients. You know, what would you choose if you were to go into a playoff run or postseason situation? Do you want that one elite line? Or do you maybe want it more balanced? So that's what they've got there. Their goalie is Alex Sekelaropoulos. Yeah, that's right, Sekelaropoulos. And he's been their guy for 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, good numbers too.
Yeah, the problem that you get a little bit with Union to me is maybe it's one bad week. You know, we have to look at it. But right around the turn of the new year, they had a home game, New Year's Eve against North Dakota, late afternoon game. I want to say it was a 5 o'clock start, and North Dakota came in and really kind of whipped him. Rick Bennett had some pointed comments after the game about his team's maybe comfort level or not liking to be pushed around, you know. And I suppose you'd rather find that out, you know, in December than in March at a regional. So I think that's something that could have gotten into play. And then they follow that up with a game Thursday night in January, when most of the attention on the hockey world was at the World Junior Gold Medal game between U.S. and Canada. They went to BU and played a team that was missing, you know, eight guys.
Most of BU's roster was in.
BU's attention was also turned to the gold medal game. And BU wins 5-4 in overtime. So that wasn't a great week for Union, but they came back with three wins in a row against league opponents, Dartmouth and Harvard, home games, and then it was a non-league game, but against their regional rival and travel partner, Rensselaer, in the Mayor's Cup down in downtown Albany, which Union won in OT. So they got Clarkson-St. Lawrence, which is a North Country's good little team, a good little pairing this year in ECAC hockey, and we'll circle back to that a little bit. When I say elite first lines, speaking of Union, what team comes to mind for you?
All time or this season?
No, this season.
Normally you'd say North Dakota, but they can't seem to get them all out there at the same time.
Maybe a good place to pursue graduate degrees.
Oh, God. You're stumping me.
Or work at Denver.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that first, again, if they can get them all healthy at the same time.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got Borgstrom, Gambrell, Terry. That's some high-end stuff going on.
Right.
For Jim Montgomery's team. How much Denver have you seen? What are your thoughts? I mean, there's another team that's been strong throughout, 16 wins, 6 losses, 4 ties through 26 games.
Boy, I'm embarrassed for not knowing that. I haven't seen them in a while. It's been a while since I've seen them. That said, I really do like that top line that they've got and that mix. You know, obviously we all know about Troy Terry, you know, mostly from the World Juniors, but you know, he's been good this season, 11 goals. He had 9 all of last year. He's made that leap with the guys that they lost last year, for like Heinen. I think Borgstrom is the best freshman in the country. I just love his game, and he's just terrific. Great skater, good, very smart, pretty good size, I think. Just so skilled with the puck. You know, I've been really impressed with him, and Gambrell has been a great scorer, was a great scorer last year, and he's just continued. And they, Denver, the thing that really makes them go, it's the guys, you know, as good as they've got at the top, and they've got those top high end guys. But they've, you know, even when you look back to the, back in the George Gwozdecki days, what really set them apart and made them successful, and I'm thinking specifically to the national championship years, where it was the veteran guys that they had that were steady, good in their roles, and were willing to play in those roles. And I think they've got a nice mix of those guys this year too. And their goaltending has been really good. They're kind of, you know, they kind of, to strike me, between maybe a little bit of Union and a little bit of Duluth.
Yeah, right. Younger, high-end guys. That's the difference, I think. And, you know, I think as you start to look at some of those teams, especially in the Nacho National Collegiate, their last three league weekends for Denver have been splits. So, you know, you get split against Western, split against St. Cloud, and then, you know, back in December, split with Minnesota Duluth. So I think that's the kind of thing that we're seeing, and where this whole conversation started about maybe it's hard to tell who's really good, because you're going to play some teams that are all very good. And that's maybe facing Denver a little bit. So that's one. One of the other things, I mean, well, I guess to get right into it, let's talk about Penn State. I've seen them a few times on TV. And I'm impressed. But just as maybe... But just as we couldn't tell maybe... who's the very, very good teams and just who's all pretty good in the NCHC. The games I saw them on TV, they were playing Michigan State and Michigan, who we have been able to discern are not very good.
Right.
And then Ohio State went there and did some work down at State College last weekend. I think you saw Penn State and Notre Dame early on. Yeah, we watched some of that too.
Twice.
Yeah, from the comfortable living room confines of college hockey journalism legend Neil Koepke. So I mean, this is a team that's scoring a lot of goals. I got to see, you know, when we were in our heyday with Inch, Guy Gadowski's Princeton teams that were making the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. And winning, you know, ECAC regular season titles and going to Albany for the league championship weekend. So, you know, you get a flavor of how he likes to play and how his teams like to play. And he's really got that going with a talented Penn State team that scores from everywhere, shoots from everywhere. And some of their shot margin totals are staggering. I know that our friends Nate Ewell and Brad Schlossman, who have a great weekly podcast for College Hockey Inc. called College Hockey Today, they get into the weekly grit and grime of those specific teams and players. So it's worth a listen and adding to your iTunes if you don't have it on there already. But you know, this is a Penn State team that has a lot going for it, Big Ten tournament this year is at the Joe, or is it back out west?
Yes, Joe Louis, I believe.
Shuttering the garage doors.
Yep, shutter down.
So, but yeah, you get Penn State, you know, Smirnoff, certainly super talented. We talked about the 13 points or more eight guys from Minnesota Duluth, you've got 10 guys with double-digit points for Penn State, and that's in fewer games. You've only played 21 games. So there's balance, there's talent, and there's a lot there. Then, okay, what's the next part of this evaluation? Let's look at the schedule.
Yeah, but maybe you don't want to.
Well, you know.
Although.
What we said back in, you know.
Exactly.
Go ahead, say it.
You can only play who's on your schedule.
You can only play who's on your schedule, and you got to win those games. Wins are wins. So that's that. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at non-league here. St. Lawrence was a good team. That was the first week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mercyhurst, Notre Dame, Canisius, Niagara, Anchorage, Arizona State. Okay. You probably should be 11-1-1 if you consider yourself a good club after that starting slate. And then, you know, in your league, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Ohio State. So they swept the Michigan State weekends. Against the Buckeyes, however, the four games played, two in Columbus, two in State College, one win, two losses, one tie, which was went on to be an overtime shootout loss. But so, I mean, the Buckeyes seem to maybe have that head-to-head mojo over Penn State at this point. Godowski Bowl coming up this weekend, Saturday night.
At Wells Fargo.
Yeah,
or no.
At the Flyers rink, yeah. You got Princeton and Penn State, so that'll be that'll be a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
And not the only NHL rink hosting college hockey this weekend.
No.
All-star break.
The one thing I wanted to say about Penn State, and again, it's been a while since I've seen them. You know, I saw them play at Notre Dame back in October, and I mean, you mentioned their shot. I mean, they're out shooting their opponents 2-1 on the season. I mean, I don't have the exact. It literally is 1,000 to 500, which is when you think about it, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, you're right on. 10-13 shots for, 5-18 shots against.
Which is ridiculous. But you know, from what I recall of them, and you know, it's easier to ascertain this when you're watching them live as opposed to on TV. But I mean, they're big. I mean, they've got size up and down. I mean, up and down that roster. And they're a straight line team. I mean, they're not out there to try and you know, stick handle their way through three or four guys. They're gonna get the puck in their end. They're gonna skate in a straight line and go to the puck and throw it toward the net. That's their game, which makes their upcoming schedule, you know, after we get through Princeton, they're at Minnesota for two games. I'm very interested to see how they handle Minnesota on that big sheet, because Minnesota, I think they're a really good team.
Yeah, let's segue.
There it is.
We happen to get a segue in there.
Play the horn.
Da-da-da-da. Okay, yeah, you and I wanted, and we said this again, we teased this in our Trackler, all these ingredients, all these trends, all these characteristics of teams, you and I both have liked what we've seen from Minnesota at times. Continue.
Yes, very much so. I think that, you know, again, they're kind of one of those hybrid teams. You know, they've got... they've got some young talent. You know, the injury to Novak hurts them a little bit, but he hadn't been as productive this season as he was last year. But they're really a good veteran team. You know, we talked about Justin Kloos in the Hobie Tracker, and I even talked about him last week after he scored the goal to beat Wisconsin, I think it was on Friday night, in that series. And, you know, he's just, he's one of those guys, you know, maybe a little bit of a throwback. You just put him in the lineup. He's going to go out and he's going to do something impactful, at least one impactful thing every game. And, you know, just, he's one of those steady guys, and maybe you kind of take him for granted when he's there, but when he's gone, you're like, man, we really miss this kid. You know, he's one of those guys that just, you know, 4-year guy. He's always in the lineup, always making something good happen for your team. You know, you look up and down their roster, and I just like the makeup of this team. You know, Letary's a senior. He's up there in scoring. Bristed's a senior. He's up there, or a junior. Bischoff is probably playing as good as he's played since he's been with the Gophers. You know, and they've got a...
He and Camerata have a lot to play for, let's be honest.
That's right.
They could play for the Islanders tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the truth.
So, no, yeah, you're right. You've got, you know, you mentioned the guys, Camerata's there, another senior. So I like that team, you know, and we talked about Minnesota kind of by way of Penn State and that series. Let's see what Penn State does on the big ice.
Mm-hmm.
That might be really fun to watch or really awkward to watch.
Right.
Because the way the angles are, not that a shooting angle has ever dissuaded Penn State. But I'm curious to see where those teams kind of stand head-to-head, especially at this point of the season. It's good timing for that series.
Yep, it is.
So,
you know, and the biggest variable there with the Gophers has been Eric Shearhorn. You know, he was really good last year. This year hasn't been as good. You know, his save percentage is down below 90. His goals against is a respectable at 2.76. But, I mean, he's not having the kind of year I think that probably, certainly what he thought he would have, and not having the kind of year he had when you look back at how well he played last year. So, I mean, he's kind of the question mark now. Which in a way is kind of interesting to say, because Minnesota's goaltending has typically been something we haven't had to worry about, but you know, this year it hasn't been terrific.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Minnesota this weekend has the North Star College Classic.
Yes.
And first round semifinal matchups. Those are games at the XL Entry North Star College Cup. Which isn't the trophy not a cup? Isn't it like a...
Some sort of wood thing.
Wooden, yeah. Wow. Can you drink out of it?
No.
Then it's not a cup.
Nope. I think it's like a skewer, maybe. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well...
Somebody made it in wood shop.
Yes, that for sure.
It's...
And this will be the last one. Announced earlier this week that this is going to be discontinued.
You know what? Maybe it is a cup now that I think of it.
We're going to get the old Google images.
Yep, there it is. I'm looking at it.
Oh, yeah, there's a cup. It's a chalice. It's a wooden chalice.
It looks like one of those, you know, those old cup and ball games where you have the string on it and you try to catch it in the...
Yes.
It looks like that.
Yes, it does. All right, pedestal.
But those should be good games too, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Minnesota versus Minnesota Duluth, Bemidji State versus St. Cloud in the other semifinal. Friday and Saturday games. Last year, I believe those were Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, they were.
And actually, last year's games inspired Week of Inch. I was kind of sitting around watching those and said, "Hey, Bus, what do you think?" And away we went. Actually, the way the calendar worked out, we're going a year earlier this year.
A week earlier, yes.
A week earlier, sorry. So,
I'm very busy next week.
yeah, it's just troubling.
It just worked out.
Yeah, the power rankings posted after the famous Super Bowl. Cam Newton came and helped us because he didn't participate in the post-game press conference.
That's right. We started working on the rankings about third quarter.
Yeah, chicken wings gone. Power rankings, let's go.
Boom.
All right, so yeah, that's the North Star College Cup. Another segue-ish. Wisconsin. And when I think of Wisconsin, maybe it's the uniforms and color scheme, and maybe it's the roster composition and upside and number of draft picks. I think of Boston University. Do we see similarities there? And what do we see? I think, to me, BU's kind of a little bit ahead in that conversation. Wisconsin's pulling it together. They're 12-8-1 now on the season. But I think there's some similarities in those two teams. And I like BU's mix. I think that's a team that that can do some damage. Again, the most I've seen from them was
Was the World
at the
Juniors?
World Junior. So, you get into that a little bit, and they'll have some more TV games coming up, so I'll get a better look at the Terriers. But we talked about Jake Ettinger, the goalie, in our Hobie Tracker in a hidden Hobie. Not that, people don't know about him, but on that team and with those high draft picks, I mean, he's likely to be a high pick this year. He's draft eligible this summer, and is currently third among goalies in the Central Scouting rankings for North American goalies. But I think that's a guy that kind of backstops a BU team, and he's got four weekly awards from Hockey East. He was the conference goalie of the month, right away. He's got four shutouts already. So I kind of like that about BU. Out of the teams in the East, we mentioned Union. They might have some room there. There might be a gap between BU as it stands right now, and the rest of Hockey East. What have you seen from, I guess, circle back to Wisconsin if you want. I know you see a lot of Hockey East games down at Notre Dame,
Yeah.
at least for this year. What's kind of the buzz around that league from what you've seen in person and kind of tracking things?
It's been kind of funny that it's really kind of mirrored what's gone on nationally, I think, in that, okay, you get the hot team, early on it was Lowell was playing pretty well, and then for a while, BC was playing well, and then Notre Dame was playing pretty well, and now I think we've come back to BU, which obviously a lot was expected from them early on, given the kind of talent that they had on their roster. Then they went out and got swept at Denver early, and had some other losses, and people kind of, I'm thinking specifically they got shut out by Michigan, got shut out by UConn. All in the first 6 weeks of the season, and I think people kind of cooled on them a little bit and just kind of thought, well, maybe they're not quite ready, or maybe that yeah, the talent's there, but maybe they're still a little young. Well, late December and January rolls around, and they've reeled off eight in a row, until they lost to Merrimack the other night. Which we should, I guess you can expect that. I mean, nobody's gonna run the table, but it's an interesting team to think about because they have all the talent, and then all those guys went to the World Juniors, and now they're coming back. So they're still, you just kind of wonder where they are in terms of, in terms of coming together as a team. And I think that we, in the past, we've always thought of BU as, okay, it's getting to be beanpot time. That's a time where they really sort of come together and gel. But I think maybe this season that might happen later just because of the World Juniors experience and, all the guys missing. Maybe that process starts a little bit later where they peak. And, in the absence of those guys, you know, a lot of those wins when they reeled off eight in a row, that was the work of some guys that were maybe thrust into some different positions because there were some holes on the roster. So, I'm wondering if that experience and that those guys gained while the roster was depleted helps them out in the long run.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, you look at talk about the opposite of Minnesota Duluth. You've got 10 of their top 12 leading scorers are freshmen and sophomores. There's a junior defenseman, Brandon Hickey. He's got 12 points in 24 games. And, Nick Roberto is another senior with 11 points. But the rest of it's the young guys. And as you said, sorry about that. I had my mic muted.
We can edit that in post.
I saved the cough button for all the listeners out there, so you're welcome.
Beautiful. Even though,
yeah. So anyway, let me try to reiterate what I was saying. You look at Boston University, you've got 10 of their top 12 scorers are freshmen and sophomores. In between there, you've got a senior. See, now that's the cough button.
Yeah, exactly. I just closed it.
All right. So then you've got, anyway, Nick Roberto is a senior forward, Brandon Hickey, junior defenseman. Those are the only so-called upperclassmen among the leading scorers for BU. And they had an early weekend beginning of the season at Denver where they lost mm-hmm. both games. So, this team has a good mix. And I think, you know, they look a little bit ahead of the pack in Hockey East.
Yeah, I think so.
So I would, you said they couldn't run the table or unlikely to run the table, which of course is true. But, I don't know that next big threat. Like, BC doesn't have a single guy who's a point a game night guy. Not that that's everything, but that's unusual for BC.
Yeah, it is.
Providence has been up and down. They've had some great wins and they've had some not great weekends. Lowell, you said, had a better start than they have been lately. And then, there's a team right now, they got 16 wins, Vermont. Like, they're in this conversation, certainly, for what's going on in Hockey East. I mean, I have not seen them play. But there they are as it stands now in third place with games in hand. So, we'll see.
They're coming to Notre Dame next weekend. And they're interesting too, cause they don't score a ton of goals. Their leading goal scorer has 9 in 24 games.
Yeah.
And that's a freshman. But they do have a bunch of guys who have scored, they've got 9, 8, I'm just looking at their goal totals, 9, 8, 6, a couple guys with 7, actually 4 guys with 7,
yeah.
2, 6, a 9. And so they've been spreading it around, but, a lot of that, they've got a freshman goaltender who's played pretty well. And I'm going to butcher his name, but,
well, I got Sekelaropoulos. So
yeah.
And
this one's just Lekas. Lekkas.
Yeah. Another Greek.
Sounds Greek as well. His first name's Stefanos. So
yeah, I'll go with it.
Yeah. So,
maybe the biggest win of the year for Vermont is against Quinnipiac. That, of course, was in Belfast. Very common, game that you play, as you do, play in Belfast.
Like you do.
And so that's that. I mean, they've played a split with BU, swept at home by Union. Obviously, they had the 2 wins in Belfast, swept early at Lowell. This is a team maybe that win the games you should win, and then try and get through what, you know, what the difficult parts of the schedule. But they're done with BU. They don't play the Terriers again.
No.
So they've got, as you said, at Notre Dame next weekend. Then home against New Hampshire, at BC, and then home against Merrimack. So the schedule sets up, I think, a little bit. Those games at Notre Dame will be on NBC Sportsnet, so the nation can get a look at the Cats.
At Vermont. And I think Saturday night is whiteout night, even.
At Notre Dame?
Yes.
All right. Providence, 12-8-4, but 4-6-2 in the conference. That said, they've got 3 wins in a row over, you know, the second half of a series against Vermont and a sweep of a home and home with Lowell. They're at UNH this weekend.
Yeah, when you look at their schedule, I mean, if you talk about a team that could maybe make a push, yeah, you know, they play at New Hampshire, Maine, UConn, at Notre Dame, and with UMass home and home. So, I mean, not that anybody's a pushover, but
it's harvest season,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some stuff there. And then, you know, you look at Lowell. Gambardella is another one of the seniors. We mentioned him in the Hobie Tracker. Mm-hmm. 34 points in 25 games. C.J. Smith, Jr., Dylan Zink, Sr., John Edwards, Jr., Michael Kaplis, Sr., Jake Camras, Jr. So those are their leading scorers, all upperclassmen. They've got that veteran element that we talked about before. 15-7-3 as we head into the weekend. 7-5-1 in Hockey East. And, of course, as we just said, we're swept by Providence last weekend. But that snapped a 7-game winning streak. So Lowell's had it going here in the second half up until last weekend. They've got 2 games with BC, 2 games with BU left. And 2 with UMass and 1 with Northeastern. So 2 with Northeastern. So there's their schedule seems a little bit tougher down the stretch, but that's a veteran group. So, again, control your own destiny, win the games you have to win, and there you go. We've kind of got around the country. I'm going to head to a game tomorrow night here where I'm based out of, and that is going to be Harvard at Cornell tomorrow night as we record this. Tonight, as you listen to it, hopefully. And we, you know, so that's the rivalry game. These teams are both ranked, both in the mix for an NCAA tournament spot, both in the mix for top 4 positioning in the ECAC hockey standings. So, you know, maybe another chance to figure out a little bit more about these teams as kind of the trend and the topic of this podcast. You see maybe what teams are made of, and we'll start to see more of that over these next 4 to 5 weeks. Cornell's a good little team. I think the back half of their schedule is very home heavy. They had I think 4 first semester home games.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, Quinnipiac, Princeton in November, and then Miami came up for 2 first week of December. So they've got a big run of games at Lina, starting with this weekend's Harvard-Dartmouth series, and last weekend at home against Clarkson-St. Lawrence, which was a 3-point tie against Clarkson, win over St. Lawrence. So this is a team that's kind of been there. Win at Quinnipiac, probably their best win of the season. That was a 2-1 game. Hey, the Cornell game was 2-1.
who knew?
So they've got a good setup of home games. As you get to the standings in ECAC hockey, there's been kind of a divide. Union's obviously way up top. They're 10-1-1 in the league. St. Lawrence 9-2-3 in the league, and of course that second loss was just last weekend against Cornell. Then you've got Harvard, Quinnipiac, Cornell, who have separated themselves a little bit. Clarkson's been hanging around, but I'm not buying that stock. I don't see it yet. They're more middle of the pack to me. So I think it's five teams for the four home ice spots. And two of those, of course, are Harvard and Cornell. And then you get into some of the stats. You know, we talk about the Ivy schedule versus the rest of it. Cornell's played 18 games. RPI's played 26. Boston College has played 27. You know, it's crazy. Air Force 26, Canisius 26. So there's a lot of games, you know, which is going to happen, but just it seems someone asked Cornell coach Mike Schaefer after the game last week, you know, now that we're getting to the end of the season, whatever, and he said, that's kind of about halfway for us.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting take. I mean, and it was by their league schedule. It was their 11th game in conference play. And, of course,
yeah, that's amazing.
It's a 22-game conference season when you play everybody home and home. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what goes on there. Cornell's got a veteran goalie, Mitch Gillum. He's been a three-year starter, maybe four, and he's good. He's very good. I don't think he's as good as Scrivens, but he's right there, and Scrivens was pretty good. And you know they'll be charged up tomorrow night against Harvard, so we'll see how that goes. But if I was if I had to choose now, would Cornell be in or out of that national tournament at the end of the year? I think in. I think they'll be in. I think they'll make it in. So,
yeah, I think so too.
In the past, you know, I think that's a team maybe that you point to one line or a couple guys. And if you had to pick a couple guys on this team, you wouldn't be able to.
Right.
And that's okay, because there's enough guys contributing. I mean, they had a guy who scored his first college goal in the first period at Princeton, a guy named Jeff Malott. And before the first period was over, he had his first college hat trick. So
nothing wrong with that.
That's, you know, those are the kinds of things. And their leading scorer from last year missed pretty much the whole first half, Jeff Kubiak. He's back in the lineup. And Mitch Vanderland's really been a real revelation. He's their leading scorer, provides some energy, speed off the wing. So he's good. But then they've got good size. They've got some draft picks in Anthony Angelo, who's kind of, you know, he would catch your eye. If you're watching this team, he's the guy you would notice first off. So yeah, so Cornell's got a shot at maybe doing some things. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Harvard. This is, we joked via text message after they had a bad weekend. You know, they were really cruising as kind of things went into January. Then they lost to RPI and Union and then got beat 8-4 by Dartmouth, all in mid-January. I said, usually this is the type of form Harvard shows at Beanpot. They're ahead of schedule. So, I mean, they were 11-2-1 headed into those three games, but they bounced back with a win against Brown and a tie against Yale. So, that's kind of what happens with Harvard. And then, you know, you've got Beanpot coming up, and we'll see what happens with them. Another guy who's a senior leading scorer, Alex Kerfoot, New Jersey Devils draft pick, 26 points in 19 games. That's 18 assists. And they got three guys with 10 goals, Ryan Donato, Sean Malone, Tyler Moy. So there's and again, three leading scorers are seniors. So that pops up again for Harvard.
Yeah, and they've got Adam Fox, too, who's having a good year as a freshman.
Yep. He was on the World Junior team, right?
Yep. He sure was.
So I think that helps. I mean, I think it just helps.
So, oh yeah. I think it does too.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, they're another balanced team. They've got a lot of balance. That'll be a good race heading down the final. I guess we're about a month out, aren't we? in ECAC?
About
a month left of games.
Well, you're looking at six weekends.
Yep.
This Cornell plays all of them, and they're going to need 12 games, or 11 more games. So.
Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be how that goes. All right, we've kind of made a lap around the college hockey world, digging in and out of various corners, getting some pucks to the front of the net. I know, listening to Nate and Brad, they've touched on a little bit the kind of wacky start to the season. Wacky's maybe not the right word, but that went on in Atlantic Hockey, and we should get into that a little bit, and the WCHA. How about Army? They got off to a blazing start in that league. That pack has kind of bunched together, as it seems to do.
Mm-hmm.
Air Force, Canisius, Army, Robert Morris, RIT. Holy mackerel. Look at these standings. First place teams have 24 points. The eighth place team has 17 points.
The 10th place team has 15.
10 is 15, yeah. So, yeah. When the coaching cliche is, we know every weekend in this league is going to be tough.
They mean it.
They mean it. So, that's kind of where that goes. You know, whoever gets hot down the stretch will have some advantages, home ice and everything. And, you know, let's be honest, they're playing for one bid. That's an AQ league only this year.
Right.
And as we said, there's probably 17, 18 teams right now, as we look at nationally, who could feel good about maybe making a Frozen Four. There's 10 out of 11 teams that feel good about winning that league and getting into the tournament. So.
Right, that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the way those kids are going to battle, that'll be unbelievable.
Yeah. And that really, you know, more so than any conference, has been one of those things where, especially once you get to that final weekend, I mean, anything can happen, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody forced me to pick right now, I know Army's got the goalie. And, you know, they're in a short tournament like that, you tend to, it'd be tough to pick against the best goalie. But, you know, I always come back to Air Force, and they've been pretty good since about the beginning of December. Once they got into the thick of the league schedule, you know, they're tied for first. They've got some really good wins. They beat BC early, tied Ohio State, tied at Western Michigan in a shootout, beat Colorado College, so lost to Denver in OT. So that's a pretty good team there. You know, they got a big one this weekend with Army coming out to their place. So. That'll be a huge series, but you know, it's hard to bet against Air Force, as much as, you know, maybe in the back of your mind, you want to take the goalie, you want to go with the team with the best goalie, but you know, Air Force is, they're always right there. And
let me throw this one at you.
I like the way they're playing.
Top three scorers in the league: Brady Ferguson, Daniel Levins, and Alex Tung, I'm going to guess. Robert Morris, Robert Morris, Robert Morris.
Well, yeah, there's that.
So you look at that, and then, of course, you pointed out some of the things that Air Force has done on the schedule. Robert Morris has a win and a tie against Ohio State and a mm-hmm. win over Quinnipiac.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick one, I'm going with the Colonials.
Bobby Moe.
Bob, good to be back in the tournament, Bob. So,
and actually their schedule shapes up pretty nicely for them. You know, granted that league is, you don't know, but you know, they've got Holy Cross coming up. They play Mercyhurst. They've got Niagara.
Niagara is last. That's
Yes.
the one thing, and you close the season with those games, and then you've got RIT and Bentley both at home on back-to-back weekends. So, I would lean that way.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
The opposite of a close race is what we're seeing in the WCHA standings wise. Of course, getting through those standings, you realize that apparently you get 20 points for every conference win, because Bemidji has 52 points on the season in 22 games. So we looked at Bemidji a little bit, 16-4-2 in the league, 16-9-3 overall. So they have no victories outside of conference play. But a chance this weekend at the North Star Cup.
Yep.
So they're into that. Michigan Tech, winners of the GLI?
Sure. No, Western one.
Western won it over Michigan Tech.
Yeah.
In second, and then Bowling Green and Minnesota State, kind of third and fourth. Send a shout out to friend of Inch, Shane Frederick.
Yeah. Freddie.
What's up, Mankato? So that's where we are. All right. I think we kind of got through what I wanted to get through. Anything else you want to circle back to? Trackler? Anything else we kind of missed in our drone flight over the college hockey landscape?
Drone flight. Well, we have a handful of questions.
All right, let's start with
Or not
questions.
Really.
No, not really.
Yeah, we do. What a friend of Inch, Ryan Maloney, would like to know, when are they going to reopen Fantasy Island?
Yes. Do you know what that line is from? Do you recall?
I don't think so.
This has to be, man, 10, 12 years ago. So it would have been right in the Inch wheelhouse. Yeah, you know what it was? Because it was, remember those knob hockey skits that the Canadian...
Sure, yeah.
For the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, I remember the Ryan Smith one.
Yeah, Rod Brind'Amour, Ryan Smith, all those, yeah. So that was mid-2000s. Canes and Oilers was, what, 06? Stanley
yeah,
Cup?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so... they had one with the Sabres talking about all the suburbs of the Buffalo
Tonawanda.
Area, Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, Depew, Lancaster. So the last line in that skit is, when are they going to reopen Fantasy Island? Which is amusement park on Grand Island that sits between Niagara Falls and Buffalo. So... So there's the origin of that.
Nice.
If you folks didn't, any of our listeners didn't recall these videos, had us in tears.
Oh, God, they were good.
When they came back. If you YouTube, let me punch this up here. Knob hockey. Buffalo. You can get some of these. Knob Hockey Tonawanda is for first result. That's the specific skit that we're referring to. And then in your related videos, you'll get some of the other ones. Ilya Brizgilov, you'll recognize them. They're ripping on Sidney Crosby. They're ripping on Detroit Red Wings. Yarko Rutu. You got all kinds of stuff going on.
That's a deep cut.
Ryan Smith. Ryan.
That
you
was
know,
the one that he's yelling at the bench.
He's it's inspirational, like dressing room speeches from Ryan Smith.
Oh, those were good.
Yeah. So anyway, take a trip down the YouTube rabbit hole with the just search term knob hockey, and those go back a ways. Still stand up to this day as far as the humor. So thank you for the question, Ryan Maloney.
The voice.
Little known fact, Ryan Maloney was the in our intro music back in the pre-production of the Inch Podcast days. He was the voice of the intro.
Yes, he was.
So his impact in the college hockey world will never be forgotten.
No. Your pal Perry Lascaris.
Perry, okay.
He wants to know when you're coming back to Houston Fieldhouse.
Ah, man. You know, I'll be honest. One of my favorite places to go. Those old barns just are so awesome. And very fortunate in all the years that I got to cover ECAC hockey that you get to go to a place like Appleton Arena in St. Lawrence. You get to go to Lina, you know, star rink at Colgate before the new arena opened this year. And Houston Fieldhouse, certainly at RPI, was one of the one of the great spots to go. When I was – during most of the time of Inch, I was more centrally based in the state of New York. So if you could get out for a Friday or Saturday game, I had my pick. You know, it was about equal distance. I could get up to the North Country, get down to Cornell, get out toward Albany via the Great New York State Thruway or others, and kind of could have my pick of the series. But since that time, I moved to Ithaca and
migrated.
Live right here in town. And as I told the story, you know, it was great to get on the road and head up to Clarkson or Potsdam, you know, or something like that. But then, of course, there was the other side of that, which was I was in my living room ready to head out the door. It said 6:38 p.m. on my DVR box. And I was in the press box at Lina Rink before the Zamboni was done. So that commute was a little different. And may I say, a little better.
Understandable.
So getting to Houston Fieldhouse is we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Great place to go to game. If you ever have a chance, check it out. They've done a really great job in modernizing the building, but still leaving the old charms of it. They've done some additions, renovations, and things, but still has that old rink feel, which is awesome. And most buildings you walk into kind of, you know, on the top level and walk down to your seats. There you walk in on ice level and walk up to your seats, which is kind of a cool deal. So
it must be coming up on freakout, huh?
Yeah, freakout time coming soon. Usually I want to say that's 1st of February.
I'm looking at their schedule now. They play – is it usually a Friday or a Saturday? I don't know.
Freakout not indicated on the college hockey stats schedule. So
let's... We've got a Colgate-Cornell weekend coming up, and they got a Princeton-Quinnipiac.
Yeah. Well, we'll get an answer for the people. They've added the Black Friday, which was the first semester kind of quote-unquote homecoming game back in the day. That was October 28th, holiday weekend against the Union. Freakout will be against Quinnipiac February 18th, so still a few weeks out. It's a Saturday night game.
40th annual.
40th freakout and senior night. Get all your eggs in a basket. So there's the tradition. All right, thanks for the question, Perry.
Let's see. We got a question here from Dan Jacobson. Where's Dan? Oh, he's from Duluth. So you can see why maybe he's a little anxious about the Frozen Four, and he asked for a prediction for the Frozen Four field and best places to eat, drink in Chicago for deterioration.
Well, that'll lead us down the path to deterioration. Frozen predictions. tough to make. It's kind of what the theme of the podcast was, but also the theme of the podcast was we started at the top by heralding the season put forth thus far and the potential for the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs. If I had to pick a four right now, they'd probably be the first one on my list.
Yeah, I think so too.
Then I got to get back into the ingredients, the mix of it. This is, of course, before you factor in matchups and who's going to have to go on the road, all that stuff that happens when the tournament is bracketed.
Who's going to have to maybe play North Dakota in Fargo?
Yeah, something like that.
If they make the tournament?
Yeah, fourth seed North Dakota at Fargo. What was the one a couple years ago? Was it Providence who played at home? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, they ended up working out for them, as I recall.
Yeah. did Matt O'Connor.
They won four games that weekend, or those weekends.
Yes, they did.
And who got sent out there and complained?
Who was that? I might have to go. I have to go back in the annals.
Yeah.
To see. That was 2014, right?
Yeah.
Denver.
Denver got moved out there, right?
Miami and Denver.
Ah, yes, yes. It's a conspiracy against the NCHC. Everyone's biased. Yeah. Everyone's biased against them. That's what we learned. Give me Duluth. Give me BU. Give me... Give me the Gophers. Just, I think, on the it factor. And... Can I tell you after the Cornell Union, whoever comes out of the head of the Cornell Union regular season series? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Because they haven't played head to head yet, and I kind of want to see how that goes.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. There's my four.
Yeah. I think we're pretty similar. I think I'm going. I really want to say Minnesota, but I'm going to. I might. I think Duluth's going to be there. I like the way they're playing, and I just like that team a lot. I think BU is going to peak right at the right time. So I'm going to put them in there. I think I'm going to throw Denver in the mix.
Yep.
I think, you know, they played for a while without Borgstrom. Now Terry's out, and I'm not sure if he's coming back this weekend or not. I haven't looked. But I think when they get everybody back and right, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And then the fourth team, I think that I will take Union.
Sounds good. Here's one for you. You have the pairwise up open?
For the first time of in the year, yes.
Yeah. Our friends at U.S. College Hockey Online have a big red line in the pairwise rankings between the 16th and 17th place teams, which doesn't necessarily mean anything because of AQs, but if you had to pick a team from below the red line, from 17 down, to make the Frozen, who would it be? There's a lot of teams on here that, yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah. Wow. I'm scrolling all the way down.
I kind of stopped around 35.
Are you going with, like, New Hampshire?
No. That's where I stopped scrolling, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no. Yeah. Boy, that's a good question. I just we touched on Wisconsin a little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, that's the one kind of grabbing my attention.
And they're good and they're young, and I don't know how good their goaltending is, which sort of gives me pause, but more so than anything, and I've seen them a few times this year on TV, I think the thing that stands out is just how much more enthusiasm they're playing with.
Agreed.
They look like they're having fun playing hockey.
I think that's changing around the whole culture of that program.
Yeah.
And I know Todd Molesky has written about some attendance trends, season ticket trends, and just how the rink feels and what's going on up there.
Yeah. I watched the game on Saturday, a good portion of it. And, Wisconsin had that big second period, I think it was. And that was the thing that jumped out at me, was not just the enthusiasm that the team played with, but, the crowd was feeding off that. It could sense it. They had a nice crowd in there. It was loud, and it kind of cycled. Crowd loved it. The players fed off it. Crowd loved, it was a give and take, and it looked like it was getting to be where it needs to be for that program to get back to where it belongs. And that's a good sign in the first year. And they're killing it on the recruiting trail. They got a ton of kids coming back, and it's one of those things, where it's like in the NHL, if Montreal is good, that's good for the NHL. And I kind of look at it from college hockey. If Wisconsin's good, that's good for college hockey. They're just one of those teams that's always going to grab your attention. I'm glad to see them playing as well as they are, and I'm glad to see the fans coming back.
Yeah,
I get the sense that people are sort of recognizing a little bit that if they get back now on the bandwagon and get in on the ground floor, that there's going to be some really good things happening there over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, sounds exactly what. But the attitude and situation is in East Lansing. Nope. Exactly the opposite.
No, exactly the opposite. It's
every single thing we said about Wisconsin, flip it around, and you've got Michigan State.
Yeah, they're not good.
Well, it's more than the not good. It's the nobody cares. And the people who do care that they're not good. There's some reservation, I might even want to say, I don't say you want to see a team fail, but you get to a point of exasperation, like, this isn't working.
Right.
Something's got to change, and it's not like we need to renovate or put a new scoreboard in. Like, it's big things need to change.
It's systemic.
Yeah. And it just doesn't, I don't know. I was out there for a game. People know. People probably know. I go out to football games in East Lansing, and we saw Princeton against Michigan State. And you're at Munn on a Friday night of a football weekend, the biggest football weekend of the year. Basketball hasn't started yet, and there's an entire corner section of Munn Ice Arena. Entire corner section, just bleachers, just nobody there. I mean, you could have fired a paintball gun 1,000 times in that rink without hitting somebody.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm not saying attendance is a thing. There's a lot of good teams that don't draw because of the market or just college hockey or whatever. But like, that's staggering to me. Like, what else are you gonna do? You got a Friday night in East Lansing. You're there in town, you're playing Michigan in football the next day. Like, go to the game.
Right.
And just, it's tough to see, man. Tough to see. So that was pretty telling, And then you watch them, the GLI on TV, you watch them against Penn State, and that's just, it's the opposite of what Wisconsin's doing.
Yeah.
And you see the same kind of energy at Penn State. Minnesota's been Minnesota and seems to be again this year. So that's anyway, I don't know how we got down that rabbit hole. I guess with the Badgers.
If college hockey was a stock, I would be buying Wisconsin.
Yes. Yes. My Huskies?
Yeah, they're hanging around.
Yeah. I'd say that's the kind of team that you don't expect them to win, you know, 5 postseason games, but you don't want to play them in 1.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Western Michigan has piqued my interest a little bit.
Now let's get into the Broncos.
I can't really talk about them at great length because I've seen them a couple times, but nothing extended.
Uh huh.
But you know, it's interesting. They're young. They're really young. You know, especially up when it comes to scoring. I mean, they're led by three sophomores and a freshman are their leading scorers. And they don't score a ton of goals. They've got 72 goals in 22 games. And their goalies split time. One's a freshman who's been really good. He's 8-1, Ben Blacker. And he's stopping 94% of the shots he faced. And the other one is Trevor Gorsuch, who's a sophomore, and he's stopping 89% of the shots he faced, and he's 4-3-2. So, you know, it's kind of hard to put a finger on what exactly they're doing right, but they've found ways to win.
That's a pretty big gap in goaltending numbers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe that platoon doesn't last too much longer.
Yeah, I would guess probably not.
Yeah, it's going to be February next week, Coach Murray.
Well, and you look at their schedule, too, and their schedule kind of breaks down pretty nicely, actually. You know, they play Miami this weekend. And credit to Miami, they've gotten better as the year's gone on. Which I guess is what you want. Then they play Arizona. They go to Omaha, host North Dakota, then at CC, and close with Duluth in Kalamazoo. So.
Mark your calendars for that one.
Yep. Row the boat.
Yeah, something like that. So annoying. That guy is so annoying.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
No, I'm apologizing to Gopher fans. I know they're fired up about it, but we'll see.
In college football, I mean, I cheer for Michigan State and I cheer for Syracuse. But so help me if I wasn't cheering for the Badgers to beat Western Michigan in that bowl game.
I think there were a lot of Badger fans that day.
Yeah, yeah. More Badger fans that day or more Falcons fans next Sunday?
I'm going to go with Falcon fans.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big – I think everybody there's going to be a lot of dirty birds out there.
Yeah, yeah. They need to get Deion Sanders and Andre Rison out to do something with that.
Jamal Anderson.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right. I think that does it for questions. So
yes.
That's the Frozen Four prediction part of the show. And then we kind of went to some other things.
Yes, we did.
Let's get to some out-of-town scores.
Yes.
Always like to do those.
I think the Sabres game went final during the podcast.
Yeah, we were wrapping up as we're getting started with the podcast, the Sabres and Stars were playing in Dallas. Funny enough, the game ended on a goal review. Brett Hull said, I think it probably should count. was washed out. Sabres looked to have a tying goal, was washed out. So Dallas wins. Of course, Matt Molson scored for Buffalo tonight. One of the early inch favorites.
Yes.
Put a nice career for himself together. Patrick Sharp scored twice for Dallas in that game. Vermont. Go Cats, go. College hockey scores of note. Wisconsin 3, Ohio State 1.
Yes.
So that's the Thursday night score there. Around the NHL, there was Wilds and Blues were playing, right?
Yeah, and the Wilds hammered him 5-1.
So yeah, there's a segue in there. Dallas to Minnesota.
To Minnesota.
Wilds. So Wilds are like first place out of everybody, I think.
Or close. Yeah, the Blue Jackets lost.
Close to it. Can the Wilds win a Stanley Cup without moving to Texas? No.
I don't know. I'm not a Wilds fan, but it would be nice. It would be nice for Bruce Boudreau to win one.
Yeah, you talk about the teams he's had a chance with. This might be the least good.
Yeah, I would agree.
All-Star break is here. All the games have ended for tonight. Wilds have 69 points, tops in the Western Conference. Tops in the Eastern Conference, Washington Capitals, 72 points.
Well, there you go. I watched them tonight.
Against the Devils.
Against the Devils. It was Devils throwback night.
Wearing the Christmas tree.
Yes, they were.
Attaboy, way to go, Devils. Johnny McClain, Ken Danico, Brendan Shanahan. Take off.
Valeri Zelopukin.
25. Yeah.
Peter Zezel.
Half a season. Half a season in New Jersey. Well, and that was after the Red and Black.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Red and Black came in 93, I want to say. 92 or 93. Because they were into the Red and Black when they played the Rangers in 94. So.
No, yep.
So, anyway. Devils fan is a high schooler. Yeah, they were they're my club, I guess.
Looking through some scores
here. What
the
hell is Ottawa doing with 58 points? Where did that come from?
They're not bad.
Of course, that would be fifth in the Metropolitan, second in the Atlantic.
We got a college hockey duel tonight there between Calgary and Ottawa. Brian Elliott in goal for the Flames and come on, Flames. And
it's another YouTube skit, folks. You can check that one out. If you find that, good luck.
I'll tweet that out tomorrow.
Maybe not.
Yeah, Mike Condon for Ottawa.
All right. Didn't Ottawa have Zatkoff in? Is that who he was with earlier this year?
I thought he was with. No, he was with
somebody else.
He's with the Kings.
Ah, yes, that's where I saw him. Kings and Devils last weekend.
Drake Kajula just scored for the Oilers. They're beating Edmonton, or the Edmonton Oilers are beating the Sharks 3-1.
That's the last game before the break, then.
Yep. Sharks have won 6 in a row.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Patty Marleau, 4 goals in the third period the other night.
That's not too bad.
He's had a nice career.
Yes, he has. There was another college hockey goaltenders duel tonight somewhere, but I can't remember where it was. St. Louis? No. Boston? No.
Boston Chicago. Played Pittsburgh.
Chicago. Connor Hellebuck gets the win over Scott Darling.
Lowell versus Maine, Hockey East battle.
There you go.
Who was in for the...
Andrew Kopp scored for Winnipeg, the former Michigan guy. Look at this from Chicago. 3 goals. Duncan Keith.
Spartans.
Nick Schmaltz.
North Dakota.
Tanner Kuro.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
Michigan Tech.
Michigan Tech. Okay.
That's their 3 goals.
Ryan Miller in a losing effort.
Yeah.
He got the start for Vancouver.
Yeah. He's actually been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
When I've seen him.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can't go any further without taking time. Speaking of the NHL, let's send a happy birthday greeting. Thursday, January 26th was the birthday of the greatest, the great one, Wayne Gretzky. So,
56 years old.
56 years old. He turned 56 years old in 30 games. Do you have any,
that's good.
Do you have any Wayne Gretzky stories? What stands out to you about Gretz, his career, anything on the ice, off the ice, personal interaction?
That's a good question. That actually brings up a great story. It must have been the first or second year of Inch, and I went to the draft in Nashville. With it was myself and friend of Inch, Mike Harris.
Okay.
And who now is
Woo Pig?
Yeah, Woo Pig, Bert. Anyways, we met up with some friends at the media hotel in town, which was a Hilton or something, and we were sitting there in the hotel bar.
It's a big hotel, like right across the street from the rink.
This was actually over by, like, Vanderbilt or something.
Okay, okay.
It didn't make much sense. So we were sitting there having some refreshments.
Yep.
And, you know, all of a sudden, I say Harris and I are standing there, and I kind of look over my shoulder, and I'm like, Harris, that's right behind us. That's Wayne Gretzky. And Harris kind of looks over his shoulder and he's like, yeah. And he's talking to Scotty Bowman.
What have they ever done?
And I kind of reach back, take a glance, and sure enough, there was, at the corner of this bar where it was Scotty Bowman and Wayne Gretzky having a little chat. And I looked at Harris and I said, you know, a meteor could hit this bar right now, and tomorrow in the paper it would say Scotty Bowman, Wayne Gretzky, and 30 other people die in freak meteor accident.
Yeah. So,
that was a lot of greatness piled into that corner.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Pretty good. Pretty good mix. The thing for me with Gretz is the first time I saw him play live. It was at the tail end of his career, and he was with the Rangers. They were through Buffalo. I was in college. This would probably have been 97, 98 season, somewhere around there. And it was second. It was probably around this time of the – now maybe a month later. So maybe February, March kind of turnover. So playoff races are winding down. They're in the mix. Sabres are in the mix. And I'm in the press box, and you watch Gretz from, you watch him on TV, Hockey Night in Canada, all the playoff games, all the championships and everything, highlights for your entire life. And then you see him play live. And the way I described it to some people who asked me was, if you were, hockey's in constant motion, constant movement, everyone's on the ice, pucks moving, players moving. If you were to take a snapshot of any single moment, a still frame, and said, okay, here's the situation where the puck is and where the guys are, what the score is, and say, okay, which one of these guys is in the right position on the ice? Every single time you snap that photo, Gretzky was like in the right spot. People talk about the way he could read a game, anticipate, be on the defensive side of the puck when it was necessary, be on the offensive side of the puck, scoring chances, getting it to other guys. That's what stood out to me as Wayne Gretzky. So that was the story.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Post game, I know media people like to talk about media interaction, which doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but post game, I was doing some radio work and getting sound from the Rangers room. And, you're in the dressing room scrums around guys' lockers, and Gretz was there and did it, and, it hits you. You're 20 years old, and you say, oh, man, it's Wayne Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, weird, and he had done it his whole life, whatever. Then you stand next to Mark Messier, and all of the things you hear about his leadership and his aura and his presence, man, I felt it. He was – it's quite an intimidating presence, just not angry or harsh or you felt threatened, just you knew there was something different about him, just in a short interaction. There's the Gretz. So happy birthday, Gretz.
Yeah. 56.
He's the man.
He is the man.
He had retired a couple years later, still in college, talking to a guy, actually has a national sports talk show now. Doesn't do anything with hockey, but we were in college together, and he's Oswego Joe, you're the hockey guy. Now that Gretzky's retired, who's the best player? I said, Dominic Hasek. He said, he's a goalie, he doesn't count. I said, he's a goalie, he counts double.
That's exactly right.
And so he was pressing me a little bit, and I said, probably Jagr. I said, but if Gretzky were to play tomorrow, it would be Gretzky. So
yeah.
That's how I thought of him.
Yeah, he was the best. There's no question.
Yeah.
And I still see people that are trying to bring up. In fact, I read it in USA Today. They, in advance of their, what is it, tomorrow that they're, or today, I guess it is now, Friday.
All-Star weekend, 100,
yep,
yeah.
100 greatest, and they're not putting them in any order. They're just announcing them alphabetically. But Kevin Allen in USA Today ranked his 10 best. And he actually ranked them 1 through 10, and he put Gordie Howe number 1.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will say how. A lot of people will say or. There's a significant population that would say Lemieux because of what he did maybe as a Gretzky contemporary and faced a lot more in terms of injuries and less
setbacks.
Yeah, less less availability. And but I can't get past that. It's Gretz to me.
200 points for crying out loud.
Well, here's the thing. The second leading scorer, Jagr, moves into second all-time points, right?
Mm-hmm.
With what was it, maybe 1,700-ish? A little shy of
1,700? Yeah, in there, in that ballpark.
1,500 maybe? He's 1,000 behind Gretzky. 1,000. That's 10 100-point seasons away. So, you can say what you want about teams Gretzky played on, the area he played in, all that other stuff. 1,000 points ahead of second place.
That's unreal.
Unbelievable. All right. Of course, if you want to start a Barstool argument about that, let us know.
You
can find us on the old social media.
Yep.
But we're on the Gretzky side of that.
Yeah.
What else going on? Anything? How about, we mentioned Matt O'Connor a little bit. How about the shade dropped? Lehigh Valley Phantoms are the American Hockey League affiliate of the Philadelphia Flyers. And as the kids like to say, they have no chill.
No.
Zero.
No, that was pretty amazing.
Out of line. I mean, I'm laughing about it, but
And I didn't go back and
totally
watch.
unnecessary.
Well, and did he get pulled? Is that what happened? Or did he just give up a bad goal?
Oh, they got blown out. Lehigh Valley put out, which I don't, it was Albany he was playing with, maybe?
No, I think he
Lehigh
just
Valley
said it.
won 7-2.
Bingo.
Oh, it was against BCNs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lehigh Valley wins 7-2 against Binghamton. And something comes on with
It was basically
oh,
something to the effect of this is the worst night.
this is not a good night for Matt O'Connor, but it's not his worst night or something
Yeah.
like. And they show the gif of the, of course, the famous goal that got past him in the national championship game against Providence. Like, holy moly, where did
Yeah,
that
that was pretty dark.
Who needed to see that? I mean, oof.
Besides, yeah, it was surprising. Like if I did it, I can understand me doing it because I don't care. But
Yeah.
they're, I mean, that's sort of a professional organization there.
Oh, it is.
Probably should have a little bit more, more tact.
I mean, you see some of that stuff, and it's timely. And I mean, the Kings really went after it one year in the playoffs with Vancouver and San Jose, and that got some notice. And in the arena at Dallas the other night, tonight's attendance, 1.5 million, like.
Yeah.
There's times and places to do some things. I think Sacramento Kings basketball got after Cleveland a little bit last night. They might have beaten the Cavs.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So, you see some of that stuff from time to time, and I guess there's a place for it, and there's a laugh to be had, but whoa! I don't know.
Was pretty crazy.
Well. But to be fair, the way that Matt O'Connor handled that after that championship game, I'm sure he handled the same dignity and demeanor. If I'm sure he saw it. You can't not see things anymore. So, anyway, that was a thing. What else? What else we got? You're going to games this weekend? No?
I
Yes?
am not.
No
I'm off
games.
this weekend.
TV.
Got some TV games to watch. I'll be tuned in. We got a nacho doubleheader, don't we?
Yeah, CBS Sportsnet, Friday night, Western in Miami, early game.
I'll be tuned into that, I believe.
Denver Omaha late game. And
I
then
will.
there's Omaha.
And then there's Omaha. You're welcome, Omaha.
Yeah.
Looks like we got Northeastern and UMass Lowell on American Sports Network. Check your local listings.
BG Ferris.
BG Ferris also, and of course Duluth and Minnesota and UMass and Maine on Fox College Sports.
Yeah, actually, the UMass Maine game will be in my viewing purview. But as I said, I will be at James F. Linus Skating Rink for Cornell and Harvard.
That should be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as we said, this is when you start to sort out maybe what's going to happen here, and good time for that game.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Cornell bringing back its 1967, 50 years, national championship team. Had a chance to speak to some of those players earlier this week, working on a feature story, and great conversations. About the evolution of the team, Cornell's got two national championships, 67 and 1970, which was the 29-0-0 team. And I think a lot of people commonly confuse those teams and the undefeated, untied championship team, of course, the only one that there's ever been. And people say, oh, yeah, Ken Dryden. Well, Dryden wasn't on that team, he was on the 67 team. And they had a really, really good group. So talk to those guys. They'll be back this weekend and are excited about it. So honoring a bit of Cornell history. One of the players I spoke with said, you know, we got that, and then they came and won in 1970, and we kind of thought that, you know, there'd be a lot more of these things, and we haven't won one since, and some of the guys are upset about that. So.
Very nice.
Pressure to win. That didn't make the story. So.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, good stuff. Send a shout out to Division III game tomorrow night. Oswego State versus Cortland State in the Suniac. Friends of Inch with the Cortland and Oswego State hockey programs.
Yeah.
Official Division III team of Inch, right? Declared as the
Lakers.
That is
correct.
Yeah. So.
That is correct. Is Oswego number one? I haven't been following.
They have been. They had a really good start and then lost a couple through December. You want to hear the bizarro stat of the college hockey season? Middlebury, Division III, was 0-12-2, 0-13-2 a couple weeks ago. They won their first game of the season like last weekend.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
They won like 6 out of 7 years in a row national championships in the 90s. Like, staggering. Numerous Frozen Fours, like, crazy elite program. It'd be like Alabama football's 0-9 going to the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, that doesn't, yeah, that's staggering.
Yeah.
1-13-2.
Yep. All right, Division III poll. St. Norbert, number 1. Norwich, 2. Oswego, 3. So, there's your update.
Snorbert. All right. St. Thomas.
Tommy's unranked.
Unranked. 8-5-4. 6-1-1 in the league, though. We'll come back, like we do.
Here we go, Tommies. What's the name of their rink?
They play at the St. Thomas Academy rink. The high school. It's a high school.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that officially has a name. I'm sure it does. I just don't know what it is. You can see it when you land at the airport in Minneapolis. You fly right over it.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you're bringing up high school hockey in Minnesota, huh?
Nope.
My Rams?
Your Rams got plowed by...
Rams got blown out earlier this week, but...
Yes, Moorhead.
Yeah, that's all right. Because they won the game last week.
The game.
The game. Yes. Moorhead 7 rules. That was Tuesday night, my Rams.
And what was the game last week? What was the score?
I think 4-1.
Beating the Warroad Warriors.
Yeah. Stats. RosoHockey.com.
Your source for all things, Roso.
That's right.
Hockey.
All right. That 2-0 was the game at War Road. That was January 12th.
So they swept the season series.
No, next game's next week. Back at the Memorial Arena in Roseau. Coming up Tuesday night. Tuesday, January 31st.
So. You probably watch it.
There's a chance. I had the radio on the last time. So, that's that. Grand Rapids, how is Grand Rapids doing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have not been following.
All right. All right, anything else?
That's it.
All right. Inch Podcast. Still doing what we do. Seriously, we'd love any feedback. Hit us on social media. Hit us on Facebook. We will probably do some things around the postseason, whether that's podcasting or preview articles or different things like that. So keep an eye out. Tell your friends to follow us. And we're still here. College hockey, still our thing. We love it.
This is true.
So, good deal. Have fun at the rinks, everyone. Travel safe, obviously, when you're heading out there on Friday and Saturday nights and winter weather. And we'll be around. So, thanks a lot for listening. For Mike Idlebis, this is Joe Gladyszewski, and this has been the Inch Podcast.